All right, thank you for that, Jack. That's my son. I always think there's two things that he has that I don't have: a singing voice and hair. I wish I had like one of those. Thank you for being with us, and thank you. This is, I believe, our fifth or sixth Sunday we've had to do this, one of those two. And the point, it's been a while. And I just want to encourage you, before we get into the message, to make sure you take this seriously, like a real service. I don't expect, you know, I read stuff from other pastors, you know, and you don't need to sit at your home necessarily and wear a suit and tie. If you want to wear one, that's great. But I would encourage you, when service is started, be up, be dressed, and be sitting there together and be paying attention. It's easy, and this is just human nature. We all would be guilty of this. It's easy to get sloppy when we get used to something. And I enjoy doing the live streams, but I'll be honest with you, I don't like them, okay? I enjoy being able to be with our church family that particular way, and that we have that option during these times, but I prefer being together at church. And I miss that, so don't get used to this. And we'll be back together hopefully very, very soon. But let's make sure that we are treating this like real church service. And I know a lot of you are, and I thank you for that. I'd have our Bibles ready and so forth, and just make sure we're paying attention, make sure the children are paying attention, and make sure you let your children get up and watch the children's church. It's fantastic. It's very, very first class, and the little puppet show that they did today was great, and we're going to put that up on the website, and so I encourage you to invite others to that. Now, as we get into the message, I remember every year our family goes on vacation, and we always end up at my wife's family's house in Washington, and it's a farm. It's, you go on a farm road, and then you hit a dirt road, and it's a canal road, and you go a mile, and that's where their house is. So they're out there on farmland. I remember one year we were going, and that's when I think we only had three or four children at that time, and they were all very little, and the schedule we had it then, we were arriving at their house after midnight. It was very dark, out in the middle of nowhere there. I remember as I got on that last road, and by the way, it's a long drive. After we got on that last road to get to where we go to the dirt road, they have a tendency to have some wind up there. We passed through one of the fields, and I don't know if it was just a dirt field or they had plowed it over, but it didn't have anything to keep the dirt down. And when I got to driving down the road to where their land started with the wind, the dust just, I drove right into the dust, and I couldn't see anything in front of me. And I'm driving on this road, and I'm tired, and I can't see what's going on in front of me. I'm thinking, man, is a car going to hit me? Am I still on the road here? And so I don't know how I got the idea. I thought, I got to figure out where I'm at until we get through the road. And I was going slow. I opened my car door, and I looked down until I found the yellow line in the middle of the road. And I just followed that yellow line. Now, I was hoping there was nobody else coming the other direction, because that could have been a problem. And eventually, it was kind of harrowing to me. Maybe it was just because I was tired. But after a couple minutes, we got to the end of their land to where there was no dirt and we could see. We got through it. The way we got through it is because we had a line to guide us through it. Now, maybe you've not experienced something like that, but I'm pretty sure at one time or another we've all experienced maybe driving at night in the fog. And you kind of can't see. And you know how it is, fog isn't maybe you just go through a little area, there's a fog patch, and you drive, and eventually you get through it. The same is true of problems, tragedies, and the trials that come our way in life. When we go into them and we are in the midst of them, it seems like they're going to go on forever. But let me assure you that you can get through them to the other side. In Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, his message was one of coming judgment if they did not change their ways. And if we understand, if you read your Bible, they never did change their ways. They were constantly disobeying God and going their own way. And eventually judgment came. So as you look at the book of Isaiah, you'll see, though, that Isaiah at certain times would interject messages of comfort. Now, particularly when you get to that halfway of the point of the book, a little past halfway, when you get to like chapter 40, he gets into some of the more encouraging messages. As he looks towards their captivity, they were going to, because of their disobedience, go into captivity for 70 years, but eventually they were going to get through that. And so he's giving some part, in this last part, he's giving some reminder of God's grace, and he's encouraging them with words of comfort. In this specific chapter, we see Isaiah reminding them of God's comfort that's available during those troubling times. There were a lot of times in Israel's history where they're, because of their disobedience, they would go through some things and they would go through some trials, but God's grace was available. And if the king would turn or the nation would turn and go back to God, God would deal with them in a good way and God would help them get through their situations. Usually it had to do with other nations. God's grace, by the way, is always available for all of us. And in the context of judgment or self-inflicted nation trouble, not all the people that maybe were living during that time of judgment were necessarily the reason for that judgment. There was always a group of people that they were trying to do right, but the majority of the nation was doing wrong, and they would get kind of sucked into a little bit of what was going on because of what the rest of the people were doing. Now, problems, pain, and trials are just a part of life, one that we all face. But there is a right way to face it. There is a way to have comfort. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, let me say this. I can help you very quickly with a lot of problems most people have in their life. Most of them are the consequences of the way that they live. And if a lot of us would just change the way we live, a lot of those consequences would just go away. You don't need comfort during those times, and I don't mean that in a very unkind way. You need to change what you're doing. I don't know how many times someone will come and they want to talk and they have a problem going on in their life, and what they want me to do is pull some Bible rabbit out of my hat and throw it at them and it goes away. When the problem is not the problem is the root, what is causing the problem. And if you have a problem based on the way you're living, we could fix that problem, but just another one is going to grow. We have to get to the root. We reject God's will, we reject God's word. And so I want us to look at our life. Now, we're going to talk about comfort in a minute, but I do want to mention to you, if you're going through some things in your life and you can trace it back to some disobedience to God or just doing your own thing or not following God's word, I have two words that will help you with this. The two words are stop it. There's a little video we used to show. I think it was Bob Newhart many, many years ago. I don't even know what show it was on. I saw the clip. It was great. He's a psychologist, and a lady comes into his office, and she's asking for counsel. And he says, okay, it only takes 5 minutes. And she's like kind of confused, and he goes, go ahead, tell me your story. Her particular problem was she was afraid of being buried alive in a box, and it was ruining her life. And so he listened to her problem. He goes, okay, I can help you with that. He goes, here's the thing. She goes, should I write this down? He goes, no, it's just two words. And he said, stop it. And she's like, well, what? He goes, stop it. Has anybody ever tried to bury you in a box? No, stop it. And a lot of times we have things in our life and we worry about it, and it's basically the a result of what we're doing in our life, and God just says, stop it. Change what you're doing. Now, back to what we're talking about this morning. But sometimes those things that come into our life are not a result of what we're doing. It's just, look, what we're going through now, and this is, to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to downplay this, unless you are sick, and I understand that, but for those of us that aren't sick, it's more of an irritation than it is really a... Now, I will say this, maybe you're getting sucked into some of the consequences, you've lost your job, that's real. Maybe you're struggling and you're wondering, like, how you have a small business and, like, how am I going to get through this time with my spouse? That's real. And I understand that. And that's not of your own cause. By the way, I love the way we're always trying to blame this person in our country or that person in our country. It's a virus. It's nobody's fault. But we have to understand that we can get through this thing. You can get through this thing with the Lord's help. How can we handle hardships? Unpleasant times of life that seem long, like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. By the way, we're already seeing people in our country react to this. They're tired of some of the things going on, and they're already starting to say, let us out, let us go. Why? Because they're in the midst of this thing. And they don't see an end to it necessarily, although there is an end, and they get frustrated. And by the way, I feel frustrated too. I don't like, I want to be at church. I want to go by people's houses. I want to visit. I want to get back to one-on-one meeting people and talking to them about the gospel. When I work in my office here, sometimes I'm sitting around so long and I'm working and I get up like I got to walk around the block just to get the juices flowing. I don't even do that anymore. I walk around the church property because I walk around the block. If someone's coming the other way, they run out into the street like I'm trying to rob them. Because we don't know, we're confused as to what's going on. But we can get through this. I just want you to see, just as when I was going through that dirt storm or whatever that was, the dirt coming off the thing and I couldn't see, as I looked to that yellow line, I want us to see a couple things we can look at this morning to help us to get through it, to get through it. Because when people lose hope, that's when problems start to get worse. First of all, and this is a no-brainer, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. You say, oh, that's just preacher talk. Isn't that what you guys always say? Yeah. But it's not preacher talk, it's Bible talk. Amen. See, so often the first thing we ought to do is the one thing we don't do. It's the one thing, like, I know, I've heard that. It's so trite. It's so cliche. It's not trite. It's not cliche. It's true. Look at verse 1. He says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Now, in a minute, he's going to get to the problems. He's going to give you some encouragement about that. But before he gives us encouragement about the problems, he gives us the yellow line. The line in the road to follow when you can't see where you're going. He says, look to the Lord. If we don't start here, let me just tell you something. You say, well, get to the other stuff. I don't want to hear this thing. Just give me the comfort part. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. This is the foundation. This is the starting point. And if we're not looking to the Lord, nothing else we do is going to work. Nothing else we do is going to get us there. Look to the Lord. Because he mentions a key phrase that's repeated here, that's everywhere in the Bible, fear not. Now fear not's mentioned several times, but he uses other words where we're not supposed to fear or be fearful. Why does he tell us that? Because we have a tendency to be fearful. God doesn't say things because he's got nothing better to say. God says things because it's real and it needs to be done. He says, fear not. We fear for lack of faith. For fear is the very thing that tears at the fabric of our faith. You cannot, I cannot have faith in God if I'm walking in fear. If I'm walking in fear. We fear for lack of faith. Fear may come, by the way, but just make sure it goes. Fear may rear its ugly head, but make sure that's all it does. And by the way, when fear comes away, I'm not going to say here, never say, you know, I've never been fearful about things, but I'm not going to live based on the fear. I'm going to say, yeah, you can be there, but you're not going to, you can be a passenger in the car, but you're sitting in the back seat and you're not driving, and you have nothing to say. But too many of us, we let that fear come and we let it overload. We say, by the way, we're listening to all, there's so many voices all over today about what's going on. And we're listening to the wrong voices. If you listen to what's going on, and I'm not downplaying this crisis, please, don't understand that. If I didn't think this thing was true, we would defy our city and we'd be having services today. And I understand that. But can I just tell you something? It's not as bad as everybody's saying. Now, I know we need to be careful. Don't get me wrong. But if you listen to some of the news, you would think that half of our country has died. No, we need to be careful. We need to pray for those that are sick with it. I understand that. But we can't live in fear. Be careful. Be careful. There's voices everywhere. And they're trying to get us to live our lives in fear. And by the way, if you are concerned about this, that's a good motivator to push us to the Lord, not to live in fear. When fear comes, it ought to be, instead of fear driving us to do things that we shouldn't do because of it, it ought to say, I'm feeling fearful. I better go to the Lord. That's what. It has to be the right kind of motivation. He mentions things that strengthen our faith if we'll look to the Lord. Look at verse 1 again. He talks about our formation. Before he's going to give you some instruction, he says, you need to understand who I am. He said, but now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee. We didn't come from random chance. Okay, this isn't billions and billions of years. God created us. Man is a created being. Okay? There wasn't some type of, and by the way, it's not even mathematically possible. There was nothing, and nothing exploded, and from nothing, everything was created, and then, boom, lightning strike at the right time. And there was life created, a single cell. Well, how did that single cell multiply? The whole thing is foolish. It takes more faith to believe in that nonsense than it does to believe that there is a God who created me. But he didn't just create me. Oh, Jacob, and he that formed thee. To me, creation is he created all of us, and formation is he made me who I am specifically. See, that's going through our society. People aren't happy with who they are. They're not accepting how God specifically formed them. And that's why they're not happy. And that's why a guy all of a sudden wants to say he's a girl. That's why a girl all of a sudden wants to say she's a guy. Listen, be happy in who God made you. God formed you specifically who you are. God didn't make a mistake with that. He formed us. You are not an accident. You are specifically formed by God. Therefore, everything in your life has meaning. Everything has meaning. And we lose that, and so we start just living for stuff, and we start just doing our own thing, and God's out the window, and God's not in the equation, and we wonder why we struggle. Listen, God made you. You are special, and you're important to Him. So we can look to the Lord as we see our formation, but also we see our forgiveness. He says, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed thee. God redeemed us. If you trust in Him, if you don't know Jesus Christ, He offers you redemption. You need to accept it today. But God forgave us. I mean, we rejected His law. We rejected everything that He has told us that He wants from us. And yet God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins so we could be forgiven. God forgave us. Don't you think if God's the one who formed us and God's the one who forgave us, that God is concerned about us? What do you mean I need forgiveness? Later on in Isaiah, he has one of the most amazing chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. It talks about the coming Messiah and why he's coming. It amazes me that people don't believe Jesus is who he said he was. Listen, just read the Old Testament and the prophecies. That'll tell you exactly who he is. But Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, if the first part of that sentence was all that God wrote, we'd be in a world of hurt. We have gone astray. We have turned our own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why? So he could redeem us. We're redeemed. But it gets better. Not only did God form and make us who we are and then offer us forgiveness, but after that, he puts us into his family. Verse 1, for I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. God, you know how I call it? You're my name. You are my family. Now, this won't be popular, but it's okay. You know, one of the great things about marriage is my wife took my name. My name. And she didn't hyphenate it either, okay? I'm glad she was willing to say, you know what? I am going to be part of you, okay? We are going to be a family, the Myers family. She took my name. She's part of my children. They have my name until they go off and make some dumb mistake and get married. But they have my name. Okay? They're my family. Hey, do you know what we are called? Christians. And you know what happened to us when we were redeemed, when we were forgiven? We were born into God's family. Now, what does that make us? If it says, as many as received to them gave he power to become the sons of God, if I'm a son of God, what does that make God to me? A father. I'm in his family. By the way, fathers care for their children. Our God, the one who formed us and then allowed us to be forgiven, now places us in his family. Don't you think he cares about what's going on in our life? Don't you think he loves us? Understand this. Relationship brings assurance. Probably you've not been hanging around a lot of people during this time. You're with your family a lot. By the way, that should be a good thing. I saw that little video clip where they asked the guy, hey, you're going to be quarantined. You have two options. A, you can be quarantined with your wife or children. And B, and he said B. He didn't even hear what it was. B. Okay. I was joking around with my family. I said after the first 2 weeks, I quit liking the grandkids. After the next week, I quit liking the kids. I looked at my wife and said, you're next. My wife says, I'm already there. Okay. But there's something comforting, though, about family. When all else around you is going crazy, family is assuring. When everything around us is going nuts, and I'm not just talking about what's here, because once this is over, there'll be things that on a pretty regular basis, things come into our life we have to deal with, but there's assurance in knowing that we are part of God's family. Thank God for that. So we look to the Lord. Next, I want you, as we're going through it, I want you to see how we look at the limitations. Look at the limitations. Look at verse 2. I want you to see a key word here. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Okay, if this was junior church, I'd say the 10th one to text in, going to win a gift card. What's the key word? Key word is through. Through. He didn't say when you pass in the waters, in the rivers, in the fire. He said through. What does through mean? Through. Start in one side, come out the other side. Through. Although we go through trials, we're not going alone. If you look to the Lord, that's the reason we get through it right there. And then as we go through it, we see some of the limitations that God places there to encourage us to the fact that we're going to get through this. What are some of those limitations? There's a goal. There's a goal. What's the goal? To get through it. The goal is to continue going forward, not get stuck where you're at. If I was going through that either fog or the dirt or whatever you're going through and I can't see, if I would have just found the side of the road and pulled over, I'd have been stuck. I had to go through it to get to the other side. And God wants us to get through whatever it is we're going through. Remember this, trials are not the final destination. They're just part of the journey. That's part of the journey. If I'm walking with God from the time that I got saved and started serving him until the time that I die and go to heaven, the trials that come my way, and there's been trials, and I'm sure there'll be more, the trials that come their way aren't the stopping point. There's something that are happening on the journey to my final destination. James chapter 1 talks about that. He says that count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. He tells us why. So we may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. See, God has a purpose for the trials in our life. There's a goal to get us through there so that we can get to the other side. And when we get to the other side, we will be better off than we were before we entered. So there's a goal. Look, just like I said, God formed you a certain way. Be happy with the way God made you. Be also mindful that the trials that he gives us, God has a goal for them. It's not an accident. So there's a goal. Hey, what's God trying to teach you during this time? That we can still be faithful to God? That maybe I should have been more faithful. By the way, some of the noises and the voices of the busyness of life that we've had have maybe kind of calmed down a little bit. But what's going to happen when we get through this and we get back to our life? Things start to speed up a little bit. We're digging out of the hole. We're working. God's doing things. Are we still going to have that same time with God that we have now? Are we still going to be as faithful to God as we're striving to be now because we have time? See, we don't find time for God. We make time for God. We make time for God. There's a goal. There's also guidance. Verse 2, he says, I will be with thee. As we're going through there, and God, here's a stated goal. You're going to get through this. And God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. There's guidance. It's, if you don't know where you're going, it's nice to have direction to get to where you're going. I remember back in the old days when we go on vacation, I would go to, we didn't have, you know, this is back before GPS. We would go to, remember the little booklets from AAA? I don't know if you knew that. And you say, where are you going? It's like, I'm going here. And it's like, all right, you go on this one. And they give you this little booklet, and it had pages 70 miles at a time. And it's okay, you go here, and it show you where you're going to go for the next 70 miles. When you got to that, you flipped it up. I did that because I like to make sure we're making progress. And we don't do that anymore. We have GPS, okay? And not only GPS, we have someone in the car that tells us what to do. Turn right, turn left, slow down. It doesn't say that. It tells us exactly where to go. He says, I will be with thee. You are not alone. It reminds me of when the disciples were with Jesus. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. We're going to get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. They get in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. He decides to take a nap. A storm comes, and here they are. They are doing everything they can to keep from the ship going down, not knowing that Jesus said, we're going to the other side. By the way, he was down at the boat sleeping. They should have went to him first. But they let everything, instead of going to him, they tried to work it out themselves. And when it seemed like all was lost, they finally went to him, but they went to him with the wrong attitude. They said, don't you care that we're perishing? Okay? Of course he cared. He was with them. That boat was not going down. They were secure because the Lord was with them. But we get like that. We try to dig ourselves out. We try to do everything without God. And then we get frustrated and we run to God and we blame him. Like, Lord, where are you? He goes, you know, I've been here. You should have came to me earlier. But the Lord is with us. So there's guidance. We're not just going alone. Well, you know, I don't see him. Maybe we're not looking for him. There's also guidelines. Verse 2 again. You go and through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. it's so practical, right? You say, I'm just drowning in all that's going on. God says, you're not drowning. It may seem like that. He says, you're going to go through it. Now, just because we're going to go through it doesn't mean it's going to limit what it does. The only limit, God say, you're not going to, it's not going to overflow you. Now, it might get high. It might get high enough where you think it's going to overflow you, but God says, no, it isn't. There's guidelines. If, look, anything that happens to us, anything that goes in our life, regardless of how unpleasant it is, the limits are put in place by God. Now, again, let's go back for a second. Unless they're self-inflicted, then that has nothing to do with God. That has everything to do with us. But even as bad as Job had it, God put limits on it. If you're a Christian, God will never allow more than you can handle. God will never allow more than you can handle. There's also a guard. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shall not be burnt. When I walk through the fire, think of those nutcases, right? These guys that throw the coals down. And they like, you know, I don't know if they're drug-induced. You'd have to give me drugs to get me to try to do that, okay? I'm not going to just walk through it. But they walk through that, and it's like, for whatever reason, they don't get burned. God says, you know what? You will go through this, but I'm going to put a guard on you. Oh, it'll still be hot. It'll still be uncomfortable. You won't necessarily enjoy it sometimes, but you'll get through the other side unburned. Unburned. There's a guard there. Again. And then there's grace. I like this last part in verse 2. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Not only you're not going to be burned, everything about you, everything on you, that's not going to be burned up. The flames aren't going to catch fire. You know, you would think if you're walking through the heat, your clothes would like ignite. God says, no, I'll take care of what's around you. That's God's grace. God's not going to let everything about us be destroyed. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told the king, and one of the guys preached on it. And it's like, hey, you do this? Like, no. No, Lord, we're not going to be careful how we answer you, okay? We're following God and not you. And the king was very blatant, a lot like some of the governors in our country, anti-God. Like, who's that God that's going to help you, Governor Cuomo? And he says, I like these guys. Our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. And they get thrown in the fire. And I like what it says. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because God helped them get through it. That's grace. Not only does God help us to get through it and we survive, God makes sure that we're provided for. So let's look to the limits. Let's not look to what is going on that we don't like. Let's look that God is in control. Then lastly, look for the light. Look for the light. Verse 7. He says, everyone that is called by, he mentions some things in the other verses he's going to do for them. And he says, everyone, even everyone that is called by my name, now get this, for I have created him, here we go, for my glory. And he says it again, I have formed thee, I have made thee. What's the light? You know what the light at the end of all of our problems is? Are we bringing honor and glory to God through everything that's going on in our life? Why were we created? We weren't created for ourselves. Now, thank God, God blesses us. Don't get me wrong. We can enjoy the things that God gives us. We enjoy life. We're not zombies. We're not robots. But ultimately, everything we do ought to be for God's glory. And when we understand the purpose of our life, and we understand that the Lord brings us through these things so that our life brings glory to him, we understand that everything has purpose. The purpose of all we go through is the same purpose for which we were created, his glory. When we question what God is doing, now listen to this, when we question what God is doing in our life, we are questioning why he made us in the first place. I don't have to question why we go through anything. God wants to use that in our life to bring glory to his name. So that people look at us and say, how can you go through that? How come you're not freaking out? Because I understand my life is for God's glory. How can you have peace in the midst of these storms? Because my life is about God's glory. You don't have to go too far or read too much to read stories of Christians who have gone through all kinds of trials, tribulations, and yet they give God the glory. And even those of us that haven't went through that look back and like, wow, we understand why, but we even have a hard time comprehending that. Because they understand their life is not about him. Everything we do all for the glory of God. We are here for that. Everything that is made has a purpose, right? What is the purpose of a watch? To tell time. What is a purpose of a compass? To give direction. What is the purpose of coffee? To be drank. Okay? But everything has a purpose. You have a purpose too. When I got saved, now God throws all these good things to me. He works in my life. He works in my family. He works through our church. But primarily, God wants glory to his name through my life. And one of the ways he gets that is to bring us through problems. That's his purpose. His problems aren't to end us. Now, let me ask you today. Are you going through it today? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you starting to wonder, how is this going to affect my life? How is this going to affect my job? How is this going to affect my family? Everything about me. Do you feel like you're drowning? Are you feeling the heat? Let me just mention again. Look to the Lord. Look at the limitations. And look at the light. God has a purpose in everything that's going on. We're going to get through whatever it is you're going through. And I don't know what you're going through. I'm not just talking about this situation. I'm talking about you may be going through some other thing. You can go through them and get to the other side if you'll just trust in the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Even in your homes there, if you just bow your head and close your eyes, friend, I just want you to think about this. He is our God. We are called by his name. He loves us. And we go through things sometimes that sometimes are our fault, sometimes are just the way life is. Are you going through it today? Maybe you need to look to the Lord. Maybe your eyes are off of the Lord. Maybe you're looking at your problem and you're blowing it up, not understanding that God is still in control. And maybe you're losing sight of the fact that if we follow the Lord and we do what we can, that God will be glorified in everything that we do. This morning, maybe as we go back to point one, you never got forgiveness. Maybe you understand that God created you. He formed you, but you've never experienced his forgiveness. You're not a part of his family. My children are a part of my family because they were born into my family. Have you ever been born again? You say, that's an old term. We would say this, are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? If you're not 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, we can help you with that. There's a number on the screen. If you would just text us and say, you know, I'd like to talk to someone about that, we'll call you back on that number and we can explain to you this morning how you can know for sure that you're forgiven and you can be a part of God's family. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, that you are our creator and you love us. You want us to be part of your family, Lord. And everything we go through, that's just it. We'll go through it. Help us, Lord, to get through the tough times. I don't know what those who are listening today are going through. I know we're all going through this thing, but some are going through it a lot harder than others because of how it's affecting them. And I pray, Father, that you'd help them to turn their eyes towards you and help us to understand, Lord, we can get through this. I pray, Father, for your blessings. Be with us, Lord, until we meet back tonight at 5. Work in our hearts. Meet the needs of everybody that's listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.